Ada, says the Fury, her voice as dry and crackly as the library fire. I don't know what you have been doing precisely, but I don't like the look of it. Shorthand, Miss Carr, I say, keeping my voice even and serene. What else would we be doing? Why were you not sitting down? It's nice from time to time to take a turn about the room, I reply, especially when one's hand is tired from writing. The Fury advances, the lines around her mouth pronounced in distaste. Your tone is one of intolerable impertinence, she says. At no point does she address my tutor. If there is fault here, then the fault is clearly mine. I believe that you have been behaving improperly. James Hopkins gets to his feet. That is quite untrue, he stammers. I notice that he sounds far less sure of himself than he usually does. The velvety patter is quite gone from his delivery. You have offended Mr. Hopkins, I say. You should apologize. I? Apologize? I never heard such insolence. Ada, you are to leave the room at once. I never before realized how closely aligned are the states of romantic excitement and righteous anger. I do now, as I run from the room, not looking back at either of them, and how embarrassing it will be for them both. My love for James is matched in intensity by my loathing for the wretched Furies, especially this one, Miss Carr, who has dared to order me about in my own house. The only reason why I obeyed her is because I saw no point in inciting any further sanctions on her part. Already, this episode will no doubt be poison-dripped into Mama's ear. I will be cast in the worst possible light, and perhaps, just perhaps, Mama will be prevailed upon to relieve my tutor of his post. That would be unbearable. My heart is still pounding unplayable rhythms as I reach my bedroom, slam shut the door with far more force than is necessary, and throw myself down on the carpet. Oh, James, James! I work my fingers into the carpet just as I wrapped them into his hair not 15 minutes ago, as my body bordered his absolutely, and his lips and mine made a pattern of their own. What can I do now? If he is allowed to continue to teach me, and after all there is no proof that anything untoward has taken place between us, I can only assume that we will be subjected to even greater vigilance than we have previously endured. I am bound by expectations, by routines, by arrangements. I am a hand in the grip of an aidograph, but instead of a benign wire and ivory device that seeks...